get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Hey, we're back here on Downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. Rich Kimball, Bruce Pratt. And it's time for this week's Sports Lit 101. And, well, gosh, it sure is beginning to look like an early spring out there. So no better time to talk a little baseball with a wonderful new book out called Team of Destiny. Walter Johnson, Clark Griffith, Bucky Harris, and the 1924 Washington Senators. Author Gary Sarnoff will join us here in just a couple of minutes. But, Bruce, this was a wonderful trip back in time to a very different era in professional sports.
Yes, and to think it was only 100 years ago.
Yeah.
We were talking off air. At one point in the season, the Washington Senators played 12 doubleheaders in 30 days. Part of that was because they were more likely to call games for rain. But pitchers were always going on 2 and 3 days rest.
Mm.
The New York Yankees had no days off.
Right.
They would play a barnstorming game somewhere to raid for money or whatever. And the Senators and the Yankees finished the 1924 season on the road for 20 games. Didn't go home for 20 games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they're traveling by train. It was an era of really, when you think about it, who's the most famous person in baseball today? Shohei Ohtani, maybe?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
What percentage of the American public doesn't even know who he is?
Right.
Right? In 1924, everybody knew who Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb and George Sisler and Tris Speaker and all these people were. And we know that only because of the way that newspapers disappeared when games were over.
Mm.
People hung out in front of places where they could post the scores because there's no TV. There's no phone. There's no, you know, anything that's going to give you a chance to know the score as it goes along. There's a wonderful book by Willie Morris called Good Old Boy, which is a memory of his youth. And he also did a memoir called Northward Home. And he talked about how he could listen on the shortwave and get a baseball score and then go down while people were listening to the recreation and say, I bet the Cardinals win 6-4. And people would bet him. And he'd win because he knew, right? Because he would scam these guys. Now, people know pitch by pitch, you know, what's happening, even if they are not where they can hear the game. They can look at it. And the romance of baseball in the 1920s was really something. I mean, there are no teams west of the Mississippi River, or the Mississippi River Valley, except some successful minor league teams. Everybody travels by train. And if you were in Chicago and your next game was in New York, you got on the train in the afternoon. You woke up in New York sometime the next day.
Yeah.
You went to a hotel, probably not even back to your house or whatever. And then you started to play baseball again.
Yeah. And this 1924 season was an interesting one because of where it fell. The Yankees dynasty that we think of hadn't really kicked in yet. They'd won a couple pennants in 21 and 22, but lost in the World Series to the Giants. They did win in 23, and Ruth was already beginning to shatter records. But also, still very fresh in the memory of Major League Baseball fans was the Black Sox scandal of 1919, and there were still concerns about gamblers and guys potentially finding ways to help their team win or lose or cover the spread.
Well, and the other thing, too, was that baseball players were able to fraternize with people from the other team. If they were staying, for instance, in the same hotel going somewhere or they were in the same place. There's a great story in the book that we'll have to ask Gary about, where the Yankees are in town in D.C. and Ruth and Goslin and some other guys are invited to a party. And Bucky Harris, the manager, says, keep Ruth out late. Keep him out late. See that he gets good and drunk, because if we can get him at half his game, we can win. I mean, Ruth was such a figure, and he could turn games around so quickly, and yet you don't hear that, the vitriol or the hatred for one another. You have this respect for these guys. You want to beat them, and you're tired of them beating you, but you just don't hear of the kind of things that you hear, people, the trash talk, that right. kind of stuff. Babe Ruth is asked at one point, what do you think about the season? He said, I think the Yanks are going to win. Boy, if it can't be us, I sure would like to see Washington. Yeah. They're a great bunch of guys.
Well, and of course, the line for many years was first in war, first in peace, last in the American League.
Yeah.
And they had some talented players, including one of the great pitchers of all time, the big train, Walter Johnson, but they could just never win. And Clark Griffith, the owner, had gone through managers like most people go through Sox, and then made the very unconventional decision, and one that he delayed until almost the start of spring training, to hire Bucky Harris, 27 years old, I think just 4 years of experience as a major league player, to be his manager. But what was interesting is the universal respect that people had for him as a person, and it was because of the way he dealt with people.
Yeah, and to hear the veteran players like Walter Johnson say, this is a great choice. He'll be a heck of a manager. And when you see the things they say, and this is stuff that comes from the press, so we can be sure this is pretty accurate from newspaper accounts and stuff. Bucky, what do you think about the season? Well, I think we got a ball club that can win it. I really do. You know, we've got this, we've got that. Of course, the Yankees have this and that. You got to watch out for Detroit. There's always a sense of civil discourse while still trying to be a homer, if you will.
Mm.
And I really noted a lot of times in the book that I was so impressed with what somebody said, you know, that Walter Johnson, when he was struggling at one point. I mean, Griffiths talks him into coming back for one more season when everybody thought he's 36 years old. And these guys are pitching hundreds and hundreds of innings.
Yeah.
They are not then going to the spa and having treatments, right, for their arm and all that. They're relying on horse liniment and ice because that's what they knew. And they don't have the kinds of training meals, and they don't have the kinds of nutrition information. They're just tough guys playing a game they love.
And most of whom also went off to full-time jobs in the offseason to make ends meet.
Yeah, because they didn't make enough money. I mean, or you'll talk to them, they'll say, how do you keep going in the offseason? Well, once fall comes around, I hunt every day, you know, and when I'm not hunting, I hike up in the woods, and then got a job at a warehouse, so I'm, you know, lifting stuff every
day. Right, and that was Walter Johnson explaining why he felt like he could come back and have one last great year because he'd been doing so much. I think he had a place, was it out in
Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado, Montana, somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And was constantly hunting and walking. And that was how he got himself in shape for the baseball season, was by hunting.
And how many times do you hear pitching coaches and great pitchers say, pitching's in your legs?
Yeah.
That you've got to be able to drive, you've got to be able to follow through, you've got to be able to do these things. And, you know, I think of what it must have been like. I mean, you're on a train in a dining car, people are smoking cigars, you know, you're trying to play baseball, you're staying in hotels. You never have a regular sleep schedule. You know, I'm not saying that today's athletes are pampered. I mean, I hate when people say that. I mean, it's tough to be a professional athlete. But I don't think anything tops what it must have been like to be a baseball player in those days. Constantly on the road. You're in a city for 4 days, boom, get on a train, you're in another one. You go Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit. On a road trip.
Well, it's a great story. Unfortunately, Gary was not able to get through to us. We'll try and get him lined up for a future date. But the short story is the Senators win the American League pennant and then get to the World Series. And Walter Johnson can't win for losing. He loses his two starts. They manage to get it to a game seven. And then Bucky Harris, not going to start him, but he brings him in relief. And wouldn't you know, he ends up pitching until, I think it's the 12th inning before the game is finally decided. Two extra inning games in that World Series, and one of the very few extra inning games in the deciding game of a World Series.
Yeah, that World Series, the whole story of that World Series is so compelling. And in the final week, where is that? In the final week, with before that 20-game road trip, the Yankees were 70-52. The Senators were 71-54. Detroit was 67-56. And the Browns were back at 7.5 games out at 63-60. So a 20-game road trip to go was anybody's ball game. Yeah. And Detroit really thought they were going to win it. They looked at who was playing who and who wasn't playing who. And the Senators get into Boston and Chicago, and who's cheering for them? The locals.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just incredible.
And Bucky Harris had a great run. He's I think he's in the top 10 all-time in most wins in a managerial career. He came back a couple times. He ended up with 3 tours of duty as the Senators manager, and at one point said, I've the only person who served more terms in Washington than me is President Roosevelt.
Yeah, which is a great line.
Well, the book is terrific. It's called Team of Destiny, Walter Johnson, Clark Griffith, Bucky Harris, and the 1924 Washington Senators by Gary Sarnoff. Hopefully we get Gary back on here at some point to talk all about it. But that's it for a Sports Lit 101 here on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll take a break. We've got the news from CBS coming up. Back on the other side with filmmaker Amber Akhtar, plus a check of the weather, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the calendar, the birthday list, and the grapevine. Yeah.